the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 44 of the Journey Into podcast featuring Night Watch. I am your guide in this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Turner, Oregon. You know, I think reality television has embedded itself into our culture so deep that I think it'll be a long time before it is ever eradicated. And when I think of shows like Jersey Shore, or Keeping Up with the Kardashians, or The Real Housewives of the Trailer Park Around the Corner, I find this idea a little disheartening. Then again, I guess if it was Keeping Up with the Kardashians, not Kardashians, but the Cardassians from Star Trek, you know, we could see them planning to oppress a new planet, or going over military strategy, or interrogating a prisoner.
Tell me, how many lights you see? How many? How many lights? This is your last chance. The guards are coming. Don't be a stubborn.
Okay, maybe not. But I must say that there is some reality TV that I do enjoy. The first couple seasons of The Amazing Race was pretty cool. And I did get hooked on the first season of American Idol when Kelly Clarkson won that. There was The Biggest Loser that I watched for several years. And now I still enjoy to watch Chopped on the Food Network. And then there's probably my most favorite reality show ever, and that would be The Call of the Wild Man.
Live action!
I do love me some Turtle Man, a.k.a. Ernie Brown. He just makes me happy. Yes, he's catching turtles and snakes and raccoons and skunks and other stuff, but I just like how through it all, the Turtle Man is just himself, and he has a good time doing it, and he really doesn't care what other people think.
Well, ever since I was 5 years old, I've been looking for my lifestyle. I found the talent. My grandpa and grandma, Ruby Brown and Clyde Brown, told me, if you find a talent and people love it, and you stick with it, and you learn it inside out, every inch of it, and calculate every single detail of it, and you can be a profession. You get a profession doing this calculation, a number on it. Once you get the number, people will love you. Live action!
Live action. But I guess getting back to tonight's journey, I want you to know that before there was reality television, there was reality radio. Before there was Cops and Dog the Bounty Hunter, there was Night Watch, and it can be quite interesting to listen to. So, let's get to it. Oh, but I guess I should tell you, I did get a new retro Super Wamperdime radio tuner. I got it in the mail earlier this week, and I was excited about it, and I've set it all up. but it is highly sensitive, and I haven't quite got the knack yet for tuning it. So just bear with me here for a bit until I get the show dialed in. Now, come with me and let's journey into the car of Unit 56 on the Night Watch. Let's see here, just turn this a little bit.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do?
No, that's not it here. A little bit further. How about that?
Dispatch, we have a 911. I'm Rodney Cross. See Surplus Store, corner People's Drive, 124th Street.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
No, too far. Okay, get back to the way. And...
47, take this call. In the vicinity of 4913 Dover, that's 4913 Dover. Investigate the unknown trouble, code 2.
5601 in service. Starting mileage 10,638. 10638.
6104. Mileage 10,638. Detective unit 56 in service on the night watch.
This is Don Reed, police recorder. You're riding in a detective unit. Black sedan. Radio buried in the glove compartment. No identification as a police car. Driving, Sergeant Ron Perkins. Partner, Sergeant Kurt Walter. All of us dressed in civilian clothes, sports suits, overcoats. This is Detective Unit 5-6.
Wonderful.
So while you're with it...
Did you read 4-7's call on unknown trouble?
5-6, roger.
5-6, follow up on this investigation.
5-6, roger. 4913 Dover, right?
5-6, 10-4.
We'll follow up the radio car on unknown trouble. But as I was saying, while you're with us tonight, remember, the people you meet are not actors. You're listening just as it happens. Because this is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Night Watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound is authentic. Wherever Detective Unit 5-6 is called, you follow as the official police recorder transcribes the investigations. Night Watch is presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We transfer you now to Detective Unit 5-6, operating somewhere in the field on an unknown trouble call, and to police recorder Don Reed.
Unknown trouble call.
Bill, you want to take the rear?
Keep our eyes open. Can be anything. Can be nothing. Most of the house is dark. Few lights. Two uniformed officers taking off from the rear. Check the building out. Flashlights disappearing in the dark. There's a man stepping out of the shadows. Sergeant Perkins going over.
I'm the man that put in the call. Heard a scream and sounded like a body falling.
Whereabouts?
In that little house there in the rear.
Okay, you wait here. We'll check it out.
Apparently, disturbance originated in a small house in the rear of the lot. There's a thick growth of trees in front, making our way along the path. Flashlights darting about. Well, nothing yet. Here it is, tiny house. Two rooms. Light on. Uniformed officer is coming up. Bill Hebrard and his partner.
Bill, see if you can hear anything. There's some kind of beef in there. Let's go.
Well,
up on the porch.
Oh, no.
Elderly man in screen. Blood on white shirt.
You having trouble, then?
Yeah.
What's his big trouble?
Well, he's out here at 5:30.
Elderly woman, about 80. Long flannel nightgown.
I hate it. If you don't take me to jail, I'm ready to go. Or anywhere else. He does that all the time.
Well, this has got to stop. We can't have any,
You don't know the abuse that I do take. I go along up there, see his cars in the front of an old dirt joint. And he pays me and say it works all day. And then if I say anything, oh, he just calls me every name and lays tongue to.
I don't say a word, I know she's going to call me about nothing.
That's a lie.
What happened to the blood there? Where'd you get the
I hate it. Oh,
Jesus.
I never heard it.
Turn your head around.
Oh, it's just skin.
All right, now tell you what. You to go to bed. With you to go to bed. Don't want any more noise. We don't want any more calls.
Well,
the neighbors have complained. If we have any more calls down here, we'll have to take somebody to jail.
Well, you go on. Tell him to come home like a gentleman and
I'm
treat
telling
me
you
right.
Both right now. I'm not going to enter into your
treat me right.
I'm not going to enter into your private affairs, your domestic troubles at all. But we're interested in keeping the peace and quiet
well,
down
I know
here.
That's
what I want. These officers
so
get another call.
That?
These officers get another call down here. We'll just take you all into jail.
That's all right. I'm
going to
be up there.
So I keep going and go to bed, and you're in two different rooms. You can't argue.
Well, when they come home here, then lights for me going
listen,
and
listen,
cookie
listen.
Supper.
Listen, just listen to me a minute. We want to keep it quiet here. There's people in the neighborhood that want to sleep.
That's right.
I do, too. Now, if we get another call down here, we're going to have to take you both down to county jail.
I don't care if you take me
now. Well, I don't care what
you
either.
You take me right now if you want to.
You
want to
be booked? You want to go to jail?
No,
you
I want you to take
all your and go to bed and go to jail.
All your friends know about it?
Right, where are you going to sleep?
Where are you
going to sleep?
Why don't
you go in there and
shut
the door and go to bed, huh?
Yeah, that's what's
matter.
He's not getting
out of
the plane.
How long have you been married, sir?
Well, I'm
about
to
50 years. Like, 50 years you've been married?
I think so.
Well, things would probably be a little different. Mm-hmm. You go in there and go to sleep.
I will.
Hook it up. Right now. Then we'll leave.
Okay.
Good night.
You better stay.
Husband, heading for bedroom. Well, that should quiet things down. Temporarily.
Okay. Good night.
Hey, you know something, fellas?
What?
They've been married 50 years.
50 years?
50 years.
Let's see what you're getting into.
I don't thank Jay Warren for being drunk. He never had me. Because I don't do nothing but decent.
Good night. Shut the door. Go to bed. Good night. If you're just going one way with the air in there, we might have some long morning.
Did you get the impression that man may be infected?
I don't know. I don't know whether I'm married or not, no.
Well, I'll give you a rough idea what it's like after 50 years.
After 50 years, I think they deserve to have a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Control 1 to all units. Be on the lookout for a light blue sedan, make unknown, contains one occupant, partial license number, 4 Baker 290. This car wanted by LAPD for armed robbery. KMA 394.
Got that number down, Kurt. 5-6-1, clear on the 214 call. Advise.
5-6-10-4. 5-6-10-19, the juvenile officers would like to see you in the station.
5-6, roger, being in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, sure, Jim. Come on in. Yeah, we'll be glad to.
What's up?
Well, Ross picked up a couple of 14-year-old boys carrying some liquor. Wants us to talk to him.
Evidently, this was the reason we were asked to return to the station. In plain clothes, two jars under his arms. Jim Ross, juvenile officer.
While en route to the station, we saw two others walking down the street with carrying what could be possible saps. We stopped and asked them a few questions and see that they were carrying two jars of preserves. So to make sure that they were telling us the truth, we opened the jars and it apparently is alcohol or some type of whiskey. So we decided to bring them on in and find out where they got it and what they were going to do with it.
Have you smelled this?
Yes, we checked it. 100 proof.
More than 100 proof.
You want to talk to the our suspect in this?
One at a time.
You want to talk to him?
First boy in office. Butch haircut. High field boots. Air Force jacket. Eyes glancing from officer to liquor to officer. Sickly smile.
What are those bottles?
There's all sorts of stuff in them.
What?
See, there's Hagen Hag, Early Times, Sweet Vermouth. Let's see, some gin. And some flavoring. Some stuff that's in a light blue bottle that's for putting in Manhattans or something like that.
What are you going to do with it?
He's going to get a little high, you know, and have a good time.
Just the two of you?
Mm-hmm.
How often does this go on?
Every month, I guess, something like that. Not too much. We don't carry to success, you know.
How old are you?
14.
How old's your buddy?
14 or 15.
Where did you get the whiskey?
In his house.
Can you have a bottle at his place?
Mm-hmm.
His folks know about it?
His mother left before we got in the bottle. No, she doesn't.
What are your folks going to say?
Well, I don't know. I told my old man, you know, we get around quite a bit together, you know.
You got no business with that in your possession. You got no business drinking it. If your folks don't see that you refrain from drinking it, I will. In trouble before?
Yes, sir.
What for?
Stealing the car.
What else?
That's all.
It's not going to kill you. Have you tasted that?
Mm-hmm.
You like it?
It's all right, except for the sweet vermouth.
You don't like that?
I like it when it's not involved with whiskey. But it doesn't taste, it takes the taste out of whiskey.
And you're 14?
Mm-hmm. How do you know when to stop drinking it? Well, when we start laughing around, you know. That's about as far as we go.
You get pretty drunk, or?
No, not to excess where you wake up with a hangover.
I think if you drank that, you'd have quite a hangover.
So much for the first one.
Thanks.
Into the office. Second boy.
Good source of trouble.
Concoction mixed at his house. Hair over eyes. Adolescent complexion.
How old are you?
14.
How are you doing that stuff?
Drinking.
Wine.
Get drunk.
Wine.
For the fun of it.
Your folks know about it?
No, sir.
Where did you get the stuff?
In my house.
You been in trouble?
Yes, sir.
What for?
For hit and running a car and robbery.
Robbery?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of robbery?
Taking money out of lockers at beach club.
Near how old?
14.
Folks aren't home, huh?
My mom isn't.
Your dad home?
I don't have one.
Okay. Put this stuff in your pocket and wait outside. Huh?
Well, I tell you, good soul for trouble. Just as blasé as you pick them up for chewing gum. 14 years old. Let him out there can make about 5 of them drunk. Let him out can make me drunk for a week.
Did you smell that stuff?
Wine, gin, whiskey, and vermouth.
I don't understand it. First kid just, so we caught him. So what?
much else we can do but book them and call their parents.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. And now it's back to Night Watch, as we return you to headquarters where an investigation is underway, and your official police recorder, Don Reed.
Juvenile officer spent an hour on the phone attempting to locate parents of boys. First boy will have to stay with us overnight. Parents out of town. Located mother of second boy. On her way in the office now. Son behind her. Sheepish grin.
Did your boy tell you what happened on this?
Well, I think I got it.
What do you think happened?
Well, they got in my liquor supply and poured a little bit out of each one and put it in a bottle and were taking it over to this dance, apparently. Like good Hagen Hague scotch.
Maybe you're not aware that apparently this happens quite often. And
oh, right. Well,
actually, the boy didn't commit any crime. He was just possession of an alcoholic beverage.
Well, I know. I mean, it was a very silly thing to do, I think.
And we do have a law against that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be better if you lock up your liquor.
Well, I was going to say, it looks like, I mean, it's a crime, but a shame to have to not be able to trust your own boy, but it looks like I'm going to have to put a padlock on the thing.
We're not going to take any further action on this, except we'll put him on a 6 months voluntary probation, and with the idea that he will not do any drinking or be in possession of alcohol. And if he's picked up again, we'll refer back to this, and we'll take legal action by filing a petition with the juvenile court. Do you think that you'll be in here again for the same thing?
No, sir.
Well, let's hope he isn't in here for anything again. I mean, that's what I'd like to teach.
Well, drinking in juveniles is a major problem in the United States, especially on the West Coast. And it causes a great deal of trouble.
What do you do with kids in the teens? Shoot them until they're 21 and then dig them back up again or something? But I'm getting so I'm ashamed to walk by a police station anymore. You wonder what you are supposed to do. You try, and you try to do the right thing, and yet it doesn't really make that much difference.
Well, any time that you feel that you can't handle him or he doesn't mind, if you'll just give us a call, we'll be glad to come down and try to...
Well, it isn't bad. I mean, when I tell him, no, he can't do something, that's all right. But, geez, I mean, the minute I let him out again, well, if he starts getting into difficulties, I...
We don't want to see you in trouble. We're not trying to prosecute you. But you're through as far as your drinking. You're 14 years old. You're through. So that's it.
Okay.
Thank you for coming in.
Okay, thanks.
Miss Jennings? Yeah, you can release the second boy. Mother's on her way out.
Right.
Ready to go down?
Yeah. Do you think his mother had a headache? I wonder what would have happened to him if he'd have drank that stuff.
Kurt, let's check this car out. It doesn't look like it belongs here.
I want to come in.
Good.
5-1, lady. Regarding 459.
Throw your light over here, Kurt. See if you can read that registration. I'll check out the back.
Go. Hey, that's a blue sedan, too.
Yeah, let's get him.
Okay.
Taking off in pursuit.
Dark sedan. Disappearing around the bend just to see the taillights.
Car
car, similar description used in hold-up tonight in downtown Los Angeles. Cut in our siren. Walter using the hand spotlight with a red lens. Traffic pulling over to the right. Gaining on the suspect's car. He's in the middle lane and really rolling. Holds the range to about 300 yards. Red light pouring in through his rear window. Suspect cut his lights, flipping off in a side street. Running in the dark now. Making a sharp turn into a driveway. We're bouncing in behind. Guns out. Just one occupant. Perkins getting him out. Walter covering from the right. Suspect out. Hands up.
All right, I got that. I got him covered. Keep your hands out of your pocket.
Shaking down the suspect. Walter searching. Perkins holding a gun on him. Checking the license number of the car. It isn't the one wanted by L.A. for 211. Hold up. Elderly woman, out of back door. Bathrobe, curlers.
Okay, put your hands down. Get your driver's license.
Suspect in glare of headlights, about 19. Appears sober, no sign of alcohol. Confused, eyes glazed. Not sure we're getting through to him.
Chasing him. He's my son.
We're not interested whether he's your son or not right now. We're interested in he tried to get away from a police car.
Oh.
What'd you turn your lights off for?
I turned and I came home.
Did you hear our siren?
I heard your siren when they hit me in the mouth. I said I didn't have no jurisdiction.
You know what you're required to pull over and stop as soon as you hear a siren?
I pulled over and said to the right. They hit me in the mouth and they said that.
You turned your lights off about a block and a half back. Why did you do that?
I pulled over to the right.
You turned your lights off as you come up the street.
As you understand, some guy was going to...
I understand, but why did you turn out your lights?
Somebody was going to hit me with a bomb, hit me in the mouth. He was trying to kill me.
But you knew this was a police unit, didn't you?
Sergeant Perkins talking with a mother. Let's move over there.
The innocent man, he never do no wrong to nobody. He never do no wrong, but he's shaking his head.
No, but when he tries to outrun that siren on the red light. Captured. Well, there's a red light on the car. There's a siren on it. He kept on going, he'd have been shot at.
He'll have no guns.
If he hadn't come in here, if he'd gone straight up and turned on Venice, we'd have fired on him.
Well, he's not a thief.
As far as we're concerned, he was hot.
Well, he's not a thief. He's not a thief.
We chased him for a mile, trying to stop him. What do we have to do to stop the man? I don't know what else we can do to identify ourselves, but turn a red light on and put a siren.
We'll shoot the tires next. You'll have to kill a man for nothing.
Have you ever tried to hit a target at 60 miles an hour? You don't know whether you hit the tire, whether you hit the person or the car.
Well, here's mother's advice. Shoot the tires next time he tries to run away. Back to the suspect. Confused expression still there.
You were going the wrong direction for the police department.
I was going to the police department.
You were coming away from the police department. You heard the siren, didn't you?
He threw a bottle at me. I had to get away from there. He said throwing a bottle at me. He kept kicking at me.
Mother says he's mentally unbalanced. Is that what it is?
How much
did you drink?
There's two over there. Clean across the head.
Anything, do you?
I don't see no marks on there.
No, there's a big scar all the way across. They bust me over the head with an iron.
There's no lump on there, sir.
There is there.
No, there ain't.
There is there.
Just stay right there.
Suspect claims head wound. Invisible. Perkins, Walter, off to one side.
He's mentally off a little bit. A result of the war. And he has his asthma. And I think probably in the best interest is just release him to them.
Well, I think that would be the best deal under those circumstances.
Kids here at the house, and the mother and the sister both promised they'd take care of him, see that he wouldn't drive a car again.
Well, he's darn lucky we didn't shoot him.
I know.
I was beginning to get worried there for a minute.
And that's his father right there, too, saying release him to him.
Okay. Okay. We'll make sure they understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you here. Give us back then.
Okay. Right. Move back onto the father and son now.
Here's your driver's license, sir. Put it back in your pocket. We're going to give you a break on this thing because of the trouble you had down there at the bar.
and we want to be sure that you understand.
Yes.
Don't you ever do that again. When you turn your lights off, when a police car is chasing you, you're just asking for trouble.
Sir, could you do me a favor to go back and see?
All right, we'll drive by there, and if we can find any trouble there, we'll take care of it.
Yes, sir.
But in the future, don't you try to run from a police car.
All right.
And be sure you don't cause any more trouble.
All right, thank you, sir.
Okay, okay.
Requesting 7 to Mars. 5-1, okay, 7.
I think we'd better back out a little slower than when we came in here. All clear over here. Well, I saw a lot of guys come out of the war like that.
Yeah, me too.
What you have just heard is real, recorded as it actually happened on The Night Watch. We switch you now to headquarters in the office of the Chief of Police, W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's first investigation amounted to separating an elderly couple having a quarrel. However, I want to point out that when answering an unknown trouble call, the officers must be extremely alert and on the lookout for anything. The second case of the boys carrying liquor resulted in both subjects being given 6 months probation by our juvenile bureau. This case will be filed away with hundreds of other routine investigations, but it is important in the fight against juvenile crime to stop a situation before it gets out of hand. And now the final investigation, where Detective Unit 5-6 was in pursuit of a suspect's car, which failed to stop on warning of red light and siren. As you heard, the subject was released to his parents. I realize there are people who might question this decision, but we should remember police work must be mixed with human tolerance. This boy faced a difficult mental problem sustained in the service of his country. Society would have gained little by his arrest. The important thing was, he was ordered not to drive, and he was to receive immediate treatments. His parents assumed this responsibility. Incidentally, the officers checked the cafe where the subject claimed he was slugged. They found the whole incident to be a product of his imagination. Tonight, you have followed Detective Unit 5-6 through a few of the problems encountered by your law enforcement officers. To give you a better understanding and insight is the reason for Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty on The Night Watch. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch is brought to you with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by the official police recorder, Don Reed. Night Watch is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Hadlock.
Well, welcome back. Even though I kind of take shows like this for granted today, and I typically skip over most of the true, yes, I'm using quote marks, true cop shows while I'm channel surfing, I find this old radio show fascinating. And it's probably because it's from an earlier era. 1954. But what do you think? I was also reminded as I listened to this of being over at a friend's house when I was a kid, and his parents would sit in the living room at night with the TV on, but the sound turned all the way down. And then they had this police scanner that was blaring, and they would sit there and listen to it every night intently. And I remember thinking how strange that was. I mean, why in the world would you want to just sit there and listen to that? And then why have the TV on if you couldn't hear anything and were paying attention to the police scanner? I remember thinking that was very strange when I was a kid, and I never understood that. But, I guess to each their own, I guess. But, today, people spend hours and hours of time watching reality TV shows, so it's about the same thing, I guess. Well, I need to wrap it up here, but thanks for listening. And if you feel like sharing your thoughts on this journey or any other journey, you can head on over to the forums over at journeyinto.freeforums.org. Love to hear from you there. And I look forward to our next journey. But until then, journey on. And there's this license called Creative Commons that this podcast was produced under. And it's a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. And the license pretty much says that you can't change this audio file and you can't sell it, try to make money off it. But you're free to share it, make a CD, email it, torrent it, whatever you want to do. And then there's this musical group called Man in Space, and they've provided the theme music for this podcast.